You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
And away we go. It's another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show. My name is Pete Sweeney. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com. And I'm joined once again by my esteemed deputy editor, John Dixon. John, at this stage, why don't you give us a story about your puppy? What's going on with the puppy nowadays?
He's confused. He's very confused right now because Terry had a surgical procedure yesterday, and he's no longer allowed to jump on Terry.
Oh, no. I'm sure that's one of his favorite things.
You're
beautiful.
He loves that more than anything.
For those that don't realize this listening to the podcast, yes. So we're happy the surgery went successful. But, Willie, yeah. You gotta clean it up. If you're going to be a Dixon, Willie Dixon, you have to follow the rules of the Dixon household. Am I right?
That's right. He doesn't seem to get that quite yet. And he's very confused right now because he's been in the kennel a lot here in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of tears.
He doesn't quite know what to make of all this, but he'll figure it out. I'm confident.
Now, thank you for listening to our show. Whether or not you like the Chiefs, if you like the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, please leave us, of course, a rating and a review. We got news for you on this show. We're going to go through Andy Reid's Zoom press conference from Monday and highlight the important parts. We'll have two or three marinated takeaways from the Chiefs and whatever it was they did against the Titans this weekend. And how about this to end the show? The worst Chiefs thing we had heard all week, because it's just that kind of week. I want to start here before we get into the news. I made a tweet yesterday because I woke up and it's just unfamiliar territory. We are at a place in the history of the Chiefs right now, the Mahomes era, where you're waking up and it is almost like you've woken up in Mars, right? It's like, where is everybody? Why is everything so red? What's with all this sand? What am I going to eat? It is that area of disillusion. So I tweeted out, waking up and it being week 8 and seeing the Chiefs in the hunt section of the playoff picture is jarring. And then we got to some replies to this tweet, as you would imagine, John. And I'm going to read a couple of these. Then think about the fact that based on the performances we have seen against the better teams, in the hunt is a bit optimistic. Baby Bullet, love the name. Way too soon to be thinking about playoffs. Jay Ray, they're in the hunt? I could have sworn they were playing for draft picks. Hiltz, are they in the hunt really? Christian Monty, wait, we still have a chance at the playoffs? Mr. Proctober, a return to normalcy. Chris, they aren't in the hunt. This team is not a playoff team. They need massive help on defense and need Mahomes to be Mahomes, not whatever it is he is playing like this year. Brian, in the hunt, seems a bit generous for the team I've watched this season. They are way outside looking in. App, in the hunt is being nice. We got a few memes of playoffs. Talk about playoffs. And then finally, John, my favorite one from Kurt Marcucci. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Kurt P.I. Chicago. Elmer Fudd was in the hunt, too. The team I saw yesterday is competing for a first round draft pick. So, John, that is the state of the Chiefs kingdom, if you will.
I think I just changed one of my marinated takeaways from the game.
Okay.
I may have to stop and write this.
See,
down.
We are working on the fly for you, the Arrowhead Pride listeners. Yeah. Let's get into the news. This came through on Saturday. Something we can cover very quickly because this was anticipated. We know that Frank Clark is dealing with two off the field issues. He was charged for the second gun related incident from over the summer. And John, I got to hand it to you here before we get into the rest of the show. You nailed this, and it was a point that I wasn't thinking about during the offseason and the summer. We were just saying, hey, you know, Frank Clark will be suspended for the first one to X games. We were thinking maybe max four, probably around two. But as it turns out, this new NFL or today's NFL is not like the old NFL where they react quickly and get you off the field. What is happening now, and I think you're seeing it in the Deshaun Watson case as well, is they let the full legal process play out. Then they interviewed a player. Then they determine if they violated the conduct policy. And I think especially because these two crimes for Clark were victimless, they're letting this thing play out. And so based upon the on-the-field portion of this, Frank Clark is not coming next year. So it's or is not going to be back next year. So it's going to be one of those cases where, as you alluded to, way ahead of me and seemingly a lot of folks, I would say, in the Chiefs reporting community, this is going to be the next team's problem where they're probably going to be saying, OK, we could sign Frank Clark to a deal. It's not going to be as lucrative as the one the Chiefs gave him. And he's going to miss the first two, three games of this. That's probably what it's going to be. But it'll be in another uniform, it seems.
Yeah. Part of this, though, is my background. You know, I grew up in a family of lawyers. And one of the things I learned at the dinner table was that legal stuff takes a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, there are probably circumstances where if a player is accused of a crime, depending on the circumstances of the crime and so on, the NFL might move right away. But I think that's the thing that the reality we need to adjust to is that the NFL doesn't really want to do that. They'd rather let the legal process play out. And the legal process just takes time. The courts are, you know, swamped, and, you know, people who get their day in court want to spend time with the attorneys and, you know, get their best advantage. These things take up a lot of time. So to me, it was pretty obvious this wasn't going to be an issue in this season. Might be in the future season, but I never thought it was going to be something that we'd have to worry about this year.
So we hope that Frank Clark, in a sense, picks it up for the Chiefs this year. He's going to be here till the end of the year. I know that there are even some fans tweeting at me that they should release Clark. I say cancer to the locker room. That won't be happening. The Chiefs need him. And we'll get into that as the show goes on. I don't know how many reinforcements are coming at the defensive line position, even with the trade deadline coming up. And so if they're going to fix this thing, I hate to tell people this, but the answers are in the room. Question mark, it seems like a question at this point. So we will see. I don't know how many outside options that you have, especially considering the Chiefs cap situation. Let's go to the injury updates out of this debacle that was the 27-3 loss to the Tennessee Titans. Anthony Hitchens and Mike Burton didn't even play in the game, which in a way was kind of the silver lining to the game. I thought the young linebackers played well. Patrick Mahomes not having anything out of this game, I am still stunned by this. I'm not crying foul necessarily on the NFL. It just seemed he got ruled out of the concussion protocol too quick. Based upon everything we know about concussions, I just don't know how that is possible. I know the Chiefs desperately need Patrick Mahomes right now. If they're going to solve it, it's not going to be with Chad Henne. At the same time, I'm just stunned that he got out so quickly. Were you surprised that very soon, it was like 10 to 15 minutes after, Mahomes had cleared the concussion protocol, John?
Well, there's a specific set of things that they do to see if a player has had a concussion. I don't think it's a question of, you know, memorizing the answers to the test or anything like that. You know, I think they do some physical checking. I couldn't tell you exactly what these things are, but they've been designed by medical professionals, right?
The injury tape of it, the slow motion. I mean, you're talking about in the scale an 8 or 9 out of 10 bad. I mean, was, and I watched a player that had to be helped off the football field, like couldn't really walk. And then all of a sudden he just was okay. I don't know. You know what? I guess you have to trust the staff, but it just seemed a little bit fast.
It did.
That's all.
I agree. It did seem fast. But I think we've seen this with other players, too.
Yeah.
It's just we don't pay as much attention to it when it's not Patrick Mahomes.
I guess you're right. Know? And you know, he also, I don't know what this has to do with his brain, but he also has this rubber knee where he came back from a dislocated knee in three games. So maybe he just has a bionic body at this point.
Yeah.
I have no idea. All right.
Let's bet against that.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, maybe this year. Chris Jones has a groin issue. Chris Jones, you know, I hate to say this, he's a little bit low key and we don't talk about it much, but he gets banged up quite a bit. It just is what it is. I mean, you always have Jones missing a handful of games here and there. He just got back into the lineup with what was a wrist issue. Now we'll see what happens with the groin. Way Andy Reid was talking, I'd imagine this would be limited when we get our first injury report. Remember, it'll be Thursday of this week, not Wednesday because of the Monday game. But yeah, I think you need all your stars at this point. So here's fingers crossing that Jones can be in the lineup and remain there.
Yeah, it was interesting to me last week that people were complaining about his wrist injury and, you know, why isn't he out there playing, that he's, you know, a gold bricker or whatever.
Yeah.
And I always, that kind of talk always bugs me. I mean, if the guy is hurt, the guy shouldn't play. That's pretty simple to me.
Well, he just was not effective with the wrist. And when I say he's injury prone, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that Jones has a little bump and then decides, I'm not going to push through. I just think his body gets legitimately injured. I don't think anyone wants to be out there more than Chris Jones. Like, I have no question about the makeup of the player. It does just seem really both of these starting ends, if you will, in Jones and Clark seem to just always have something nagging or ailing them. And that's a detriment considering the lack of depth at those positions. And it's been a killer, I find, in this tough season so far.
Well, and of course, the other teams are always giving those two guys their best effort, too.
Right.
I mean, these are the guys that that other teams are targeting on the Chiefs' defensive line. These are the guys we've got to stop. These are the guys we got to double team. Right. These are the guys that we got to pay attention to. And so, you know, maybe it's easier for them to be injured. I don't know. I've never done any study on that or anything, but maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
Tyrann Mathieu, Andy Reid said, is dealing with a rib injury after the game. He already had a fractured finger. I assume that Mathieu will be fine. I don't worry about him playing at all. Kyle Long, the curious case of Kyle Long. Nobody knows what's going on with this. I don't even know if he's in Kansas City at this point. He's still available to come off of injured reserve at this point. I'm wondering if this is a break glass type of situation where if you need him to start, he'll be back in KC. If not, kind of sit around and wait. I think this is a player that probably wanted to come here to start if you're coming out of retirement. And at this point, maybe the Chiefs are saying, look, you're on the PUP, stay in shape. If we need you, we'll call you, that type of deal. And you don't really have to make a roster move. The Chiefs, of course, replaced Lucas Niang with Mike Remmers 2 games ago. And John, then we get into your snap count takeaways, which had some unique changes this week.
Yeah, a couple of things that I thought were very interesting. You know, when I write these articles, I don't generally get into trying to analyze it too much. Basically, it's just like, let's figure out what the data says about what happened in the game. But after a game like Sunday, when the Chiefs just got slaughtered, it's hard not to notice stuff where you go, what? What?
Right.
And one of these was the use of DeMarcus Robinson. He had more snaps at wide receiver than any other player, including Tyreek Hill. Now, of course, part of that is because Hill was just coming off an injury. We wouldn't have expected him to get a normal snap count in those circumstances anyway. But what's weird about it is that Robinson just hasn't been very productive this year.
No.
Both Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman have more catches, more yards. Both have a higher percentage of catches. In fact, substantially higher. DeMarcus Robinson's like at 55%, and Hardman and Pringle are in the 70s. So, and Robinson has had more snaps than both of these guys. So it's obvious that he isn't a very productive player, and yet in this game, where the Chiefs desperately need to score points, he's the guy they're trotting out there. Now, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, this isn't an exaggeration. He might be the sixth of six receivers when it comes to talent level. Now, I know Josh Gordon is still learning the playbook. I know that's going to be another one of your points. But I saw Marcus Kemp in training camp, and he looked good. He did, and he hasn't really gotten an opportunity. We saw Byron Pringle, a low-key element of this game, kind of shine I don't understand that at all. I know Tyreek Hill is banged up and Mecole Hardman is a little bit more of a gadget guy, but right. it does not make any sense. I'm not saying he is, but he could be the sixth of six talent level yeah. in the receiving room. That's well, not it just out of the question.
Yeah, when you put those numbers together, like I said, I don't normally look at this kind of thing when I'm working on the snap counts. But it jumped out at me because I knew Robinson hadn't done much in the game. You know, right. he had one catch on four targets. So, you know, and especially after, you know, maybe I wouldn't notice that if the Chiefs had won the game. But they didn't win right. the game, and I did notice it.
right.
And then the other big thing, you mentioned Josh Gordon, again, not getting very many snaps. I don't know what that's about. But to me, the other big takeaway from the snap counts was the situation with Chris Jones. Again, just like Hill, he didn't get as many snaps as you would normally see him get after he'd returned from injury. He was down a little bit. That's to be expected. But you didn't see a change in the other players who've been filling in for him at defensive end. Their snaps were all in the normal range over the last, you know, few games.
Yeah.
And then you look at the defensive tackles, and their snap counts are all down. So you're going, well, wait a minute. What happened there? Well, turns out if you look it up on Pro Football Focus, Chris Jones played on the inside more in this game than he has in any other game this season. Now, let's remember that when the Chiefs said they were going to move him to defensive end, they said, yes, he's still going to play inside. And Spagnuolo made it seem like that it would just be the reverse of last year, where
right.
last year as a defensive tackle, he played on the outside about one snap and three. And that this year as a defensive end, he'd play on the inside about one snap and three. And Spagnuolo made it very clear that, well, you know, it's going to depend on the situation in the game and the opponent and who's
yeah.
across the line from him, et cetera, et cetera. So it's probably just going to vary some. But up to Sunday, Chris Jones had never exceeded 15% of his snaps on the inside. On
okay.
Sunday, he played 30% of his snaps on
this
the inside.
Double.
Yeah. So, you know, is this a representation of something that's going to be the normal going forward? Or was this part of the plan to stop Derrick Henry? We don't know. But
right.
I thought it was a very interesting piece of information.
Well, and as you saw, his PFF grade for this game was among the highest defenders. I don't know if both have to do with each other. We know we haven't really dug in into, okay, were his defensive tackle snaps better than the edge snaps? But that's just a fact. I mean, for the same people grading, okay, he was on the inside, his grades were better in this game. I don't know. I don't know what the Chiefs are going to do. We're figuring that out along with you. And I think these are some clues as to, well, they're trying stuff. That's a change. I don't understand the Josh Gordon thing. We keep hearing different messaging from the team as opposed mm-hmm. to like what it says in the numbers. I know you had said that it might be a playoff move. I don't necessarily disagree with that anymore. I think the Chiefs wanted it to be a sooner move, but I think it
right.
might be turning into a playoff move
yeah.
At this stage, because it just does not seem like Josh Gordon is picking up the offense. They can say whatever they want at the press conferences. When you pull up the snap counts and he's just not out there, tells you all you need to know. And so hopefully they can get him up to speed quickly. The Chiefs need to rebound. They have an extra day this week, which is a good thing, as they host the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. So let's take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into what we learned from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid from his Monday afternoon Zoom availability. Stay with us right here on the Arrowhead Pride Editors Show.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free.
Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, Pete Sweeney, John Dixon, joining you on the Tuesday after the debacle in Tennessee. 27-3 Titans. Their Chiefs are trying to figure it out. Andy Reid asked about what Patrick Mahomes might have been talking about. Patrick Mahomes sort of alluded to missed opportunities throwing the football, bailing too early, drifting a bit. Here was Andy Reid on some of those mistakes.
Yeah, so listen, Sam, I mean, they're a good defensive front, and we put ourselves in a position where we had to throw the ball. And you do that against a good defensive front, there will be some pressures. You got to work through it, and then he'll get out of the pocket and do what he does. But, listen, I can only tell you that we all need to get better on this. It's always good to get after the quarterback or get after, a specific area. It's not one thing right now. There's a handful or two handfuls of things that we've got to get straight. And that's coaching and that's playing. And so without going into a whole lot of detail, because we still got a lot of game to play, the obvious, I think, is what you guys can see. And that's got to be fixed. If it's fixed, you get it. You're going to have a chance to win every football game. If it's not fixed, then you're going to struggle.
So as to be expected here a little bit, Andy Reid credited the Titans defensive front, and it's becoming a fact now, and it's almost like the opposite of Spagnuolo. If other teams are able to get pressure with their front four, it is killing the Chiefs because they can use more players in the backfield, the two men and the safety, both man-to-man and some cover two and cover four has been a problem here. And Patrick Mahomes, he does right now have some happy feet. We don't know what are 5 or 7-step dropbacks, but it does seem like he's bailing a little bit early. It does seem like he's drifting back a little much, and it certainly is not helping the offensive line. Now, granted, when you're facing a good defense like Tennessee, it's only going to enhance those problems. And I think that's what Andy Reid was saying here.
Well, and he spoke specifically about how they were beating Orlando Brown.
Yeah, let's go to that sound right now,
yeah,
Steve.
Yeah.
Here's the Reid quote on Orlando Brown.
Yeah, so they had a good plan on us. They, they pushed the pocket on the right side, and then on the quarterback's throwing arm, and then they worked at times 10 to 11 yards around the corner, which once you work the quarterback's right arm, he can't step up. So now he's deep. They work around the corner. That's the ones the couple that Orlando got beat on there were deep and around the horn. So we got to go back and make sure that we handle the onside right. And then Orlando can do some things with his set to make it even better there.
So as Reid said, this was a very clear attack in a sense of Orlando Brown, right? Where they said, okay, we're going to bring pressure to the quarterback arm side, make sure that Mahomes starts to drift back and probably like lean a little bit, what would be the left. And at the same time, we're going to attack Orlando Brown's weakness. Remember in training camp when we were saying Orlando Brown is getting killed on one-on-ones on speed rushes? That's exactly what we saw in those handful of snaps on Sunday. I believe I looked it up and he allowed 5 pressures. So that ends up being a problem. I think Orlando Brown is a problem. That being said, I think Patrick Mahomes is not helping him at all either. And
right.
So it goes back to that idea of everyone has like a small piece of this.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Orlando Brown might not be as good a player as we thought or hoped he might be. But Mahomes is not making it easier on either one of his tackles. This dropback issue is, we've been seeing this for a while. This isn't
right.
Something that just started happening, and it's kind of mystifying to me because you would think that it would happen more often when the interior of the offensive line is not doing well and it's better now. So that's confusing to me.
Yeah, I think the drifting is interesting and the bailing is interesting and it is a little bit in a sense, I think it's being emphasized more because it's not working. Patrick Mahomes would do these type of things in previous years, as you're alluding to. But a lot of times, John, they would end up in across the field, pass, sidearm, a quick throwing it around. In my mind, I'm remembering the highlight against the Colts where he's a little shaky in the pocket, but then he just ends up wrapping it around in this magical play around a Colts defender and hits Travis Kelce or whoever it was right in the chest. They probably have always been a little bit of the problems, and people have alluded to that, especially the film guys like a Dan Orlovsky on ESPN. They've been part of the problem for a while, but when you're winning, who cares? Right? Like, whatever. So now that you're losing and Mahomes has become a major problem in the sense it's worst stretch of his career, I think now they're starting to be addressed a little bit more. And it's something that's going to have to be worked on in practice, I think. And again, you know, I keep going back to this. There's no help coming. It's got to be these players, right? So the Chiefs have made, I think, the one move along the offensive line that they're going to make, which is Mike Remmers in place of Lucas Niang. I don't really see any of these other guys getting replaced. They kind of have to see what they have in Orlando Brown and continue with him, and you're not trading a first-rounder to bench that player. Joe Tooney, you signed to this lucrative contract. The center and the right guard have been great. You already made the change at right tackle, so they got to figure this out with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I think it's also fair to note that in the past, in previous seasons, when Mahomes was dropping back, well, particularly the season before last, when he was dropping back so far, the tackles were pretty good players. You know, Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz are probably better players, were better players when they were at their peak in 2019 than either of the tackles that are starting for the Chiefs right now. The key thing here to remember is we don't know if those tackles could eventually be as good. Could Orlando Brown, with more time in the Chiefs system and more time as a player, become a better left tackle? Yeah, that's possible. Certainly that's true of Lucas Niang, who is presumably the future at the right tackle. So, you know, is this a growing pains issue as well as an issue with Mahomes? Yeah, I think that's a possibility. That, you know, right now they've got Remmers in there because they want to keep winning football games and they don't want that right tackle position to be a weakness. But long term, I think the Chiefs might be in pretty good shape with the tackle. Let's hope they are, at least.
Well, good for Brett Veach for not giving him a lucrative deal like he did Frank Clark before he actually proved something in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Brett Veach is starting to get some blame here, and you're starting to see the fan base turn a little bit on some of the decisions and the draft pick Veach has made. But the good thing is, you know, you're paying him this year. You have that decision to make. If it really doesn't seem like it's getting better, if he really doesn't look like your quote-unquote left tackle of the future, you can cut your loss. Now, you're never getting that first-round pick back, but at least you're not paying into what is the Frank Clark contract, where it's the seventh or eighth biggest cap hit in the league, period. We're not talking about non-quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We're talking period. So you have some wiggle room to correct your mistake if you feel like it's a mistake. I think there's a long way to go. We still have 10 games left, so we got to see how that goes. Let's continue on with Andy Reid. My question to Reid was structured like this. I said, hey, if there's an extra day this week because of the Monday Night Football, do you let the team go home for 2 days? I know it sounds crazy. I know a lot of people just want them on the practice field all the time, but do you let them go home for 2 or 3 days and kind of reset, come back to practice on Thursday, get your mind off football, and let's start with the fundamentals on Thursday? Andy Reid took the question in a entirely different direction.
Yeah, you know, listen, I thought one of the positives, Pete, was on the plane. You know, all the guys have these iPads now. So on the plane, they all had the game on. They were all looking at the game in the back of the plane. And it wasn't, you know, the loud music or whatever you can perceive to be that goes on in the back of the plane. This was focused on trying to get better and looking at it, curious to see, you know, what went wrong. And so I can handle that. That normally tells you got a pretty strong locker room. And we need that right now. That's what we need. We need strong coaches and coaching, and we need a good solid strong locker room. And so I felt, you know, guys want to do the right things. We got to make sure that we're putting them in position to do it, and then when they're put there, that they execute it the right way, and then make the play.
By the way, you can catch this full press conference right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network on the From the Podium series. We have Andy Reid's full press conference if you want to hear it from yourself and hear the questions and whatnot. But the point from Reid here was, I guess what typically happens, and this is my understanding, I've heard this before, especially with wins, and occasionally if you drop a game, guys socialize on the plane. You only get so much free time, and when you're celebrating, you know, they can do whatever. You can imagine what they do. We don't have to get into the details of that. This seemed like it was a very, very solemn mood, as it should be. And I think fans should be happy to hear this. I don't think Andy Reid would just say this, by the way. I think the folks were really in the back of the plane studying the game immediately. There was no kind of, okay, it is what it is. We're off. We're going to, we have an extra day this week, as I was just talking about, and we're going to, you know, have some fun. No, regardless of what Frank Clark did on the sideline. No, this was the team saying, okay, let's dig right into the film. Let's use every second here. And so I liked hearing this. Now, it is talk, right? And we have to see them play better starting with the New York Giants, but better this than not, I would say, right?
Right. I would agree. You want the team to, and we've seen this in this reaction to the clip of Frank Clark smiling on the sidelines during the game, which I feel has been blown way out of proportion. But I agree. It's still talk, but it's better to see this than the alternative, that they're on the plane just laughing and carrying on like it didn't matter. And having been in a lot of very, very depressing locker rooms after Chiefs games, I can also say that sometimes players were laughing in there, and sometimes they didn't seem to be taking it seriously. But there were a lot of times that you saw those players that they were frustrated. Tony Gonzalez was always frustrated when after a Chiefs game that they had lost. It was hard to get him to say anything positive about anything. And there are other players like that. I think it's good that the team was focused on that and trying to, you know, think, what can we do to make this better on the plane? I liked hearing about that. But I agree. We need to see action, not just hear talk from Andy Reid about it.
Continuing on with Andy Reid, he was asked about the effort in this game, and he had good things to say in that regard as well.
Yeah, that was one thing I thought was good. I mean, we're seeing a lot of teams just tank it in the second half. I didn't see that. I saw guys busting their tail to get the job done. We were off, and you're playing a good football team. You cannot be off. That's the bottom line. We have to figure out a way to do that. That's what we've done in the past. We've been able to do that. And so we've got to keep an urgency up to in practice and the right frame of mind when we're playing the game to get that done. You know, that again comes back to what you've got coaches and what you got in the locker room and that. So I think, but there's got to be that urgency's got to be there.
And then finally, asked by Matt McMullen of Chiefs.com about that 1-5 stretch in 2015 pre-Mahomes with Alex Smith, where the team finished the season 11-5 and got their first playoff win. Here's Andy Reid.
Yeah, well, you got to stick together first, and then you got to practice the right way, and you got to transfer that on the playing field. And coaches have to make sure that they keep trying to put their players in the best possible position that they can to make plays. There's got to be a universal joint effort that takes place to do that. Unless you're doing that and feeling that, then it doesn't change around. I mean, that's how that goes. So we've got to make sure we're all pulling in the same direction there and getting it done.
So I think this press conference as a whole was just, I think, understanding where the Chiefs are at, then really giving you a ton of confidence. I think Andy Reid was really real about how down this team is right now. Mm-hmm. I understand where maybe you would want a little bit more of assurance that it was going to get figured out. But I think, you know, for a change, he's like, it is what it is at this point. And that is a little bit alarming in the sense that I think he still is keeping the optimism. I don't know how many head coaches you would want other than Andy Reid in this predicament. But that being said, this adversity the Chiefs are facing is real. It is really real, and they're going to have to dig. And And like I said, I think you're fortunate to get a team like the New York Giants, but right now the Chiefs are a team that could seemingly lose to any team. And I think, I think they understand that at this point.
Well, let's hope they do. Let's hope they recognize that they're all going to have to do just what Reed said, stick together and make it happen somehow. You gotta do all the things that got you here. And those include staying consistent in your routines and treating every game like it's the most important game of the season. You know, Reed's a big fan of that. You know, he said last week, they should all be important. You know, we should all think of every game as important. And that's gotten them where they are. Now, maybe that's hard to do over the course of many seasons. That's been a discussion point that people have brought up this week. You know, maybe the problem is that the Chiefs have just played three long seasons and they're tired. I have a little trouble buying into that, but I could see where, you know, a consistent, we have to treat every game as the most important game for a long period of time could end up being mentally wearing. So, you know, I don't think that they're tired necessarily, but it might be a mental toll that they've, you know, taken on as a result of the way they prepare for games. I don't know. We're just speculating.
That's the Andy Reid press conference from Monday. Again, you could go listen to it on From the Podium. When we come back, we will have our marinated takeaways from the Chiefs and Titans. Stay with us right here on the Arrowhead Pride Editors Show.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Well, I'm going to let this marinate.
You know, let that one marinate, and then we can circle back.
Adapt, react, readapt.
It takes time.
It takes years.
That's the takeaway.
Back here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, and it is that time, the world-famous marinated takeaways. And, John, I kind of dug a little bit more so on the state of the team and marinated thoughts there. So if you have game specific, let's get through yours first, and then I'll kind of talk to you through some of mine.
All right. This was something else that I mentioned in the Snap Counts article today, but decided to save until this point in the show. The Chiefs passed the ball on 81% of their plays on Sunday. That's the most it's been in the last 2 years. Okay. In all of this season and all of last season. And that includes the Super Bowl game where they lost 31-9.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, the initial reaction to a stat like this is, well, of course they passed the ball a lot. They were behind. Okay. Right. That's fair. That's the top level thing that any talking head would say on NFL Network or on ESPN, you know, yeah, they were throwing the ball a lot because they were behind. But I would make this point, and that is, it's not like the Titans were ahead 42-0 at the half.
Right.
They were up 24-0. And if you don't believe the Chiefs are capable of scoring 24 points in a half of football, then you haven't been paying attention to what the Chiefs are doing. I wonder if the Chiefs wouldn't have been smarter to come out in the second half, still with a whole half of football to play, and concentrate on the running game.
Yeah.
You know, on top of this being 80% of their and top of it being just 20% of their plays, half of those plays were runs by Patrick Mahomes or Chad Henne.
Right.
So, you know, you're talking about like six running plays over the whole game. It seems to me that the Chiefs made it easier for the Titans to defend against them in the second half by completely abandoning the running game.
We've seen this year, and it's just 2021, where the best percentage seemingly for the Chiefs is even, if not running slightly a tick more. Now, that's what Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out of the lineup right now, but it seems like Darrell Williams is more than capable. And I would agree. I think they got away from that. And when you are one-dimensional and you feel like you have to pass the football constantly and they're going through the struggles they're going through, good luck, right? I mean, this is a Mike Vrabel team that can play defense despite some of the injuries, and they have you. You at least know with Vrabel they're going to scheme you up correctly based upon what has been your weakness this year. And then by passing, as you mentioned, 80% of the time, you're just playing into that. So I think that's a good point by you. What else do you have on this?
I am hearing a lot of people talking about firing Andy Reid, firing Steve Spagnuolo, firing Eric Bieniemy. I get it. This is a reaction that people have to this kind of a situation where you have a team that should be good, that is not playing up to their potential. I get it why people feel this way. But let's emphasize this right now. None of these Chiefs coaches are going anywhere, at least not now.
Right.
The Chiefs franchise is not a team that's going to panic before we reach the halfway point of the season and fire the defensive coordinator, the offensive coordinator, the head coach. None of that is going to happen, okay? If you're looking for the news every day that Steve Spagnuolo's been fired, just stop. It's not going to happen. Could happen at the end of the season, of course.
I'd agree with you. I think the mutual parting of ways at the end of the season, if this continues, is a possibility.
Sure.
Now,
of course it
if
is.
You were to let him go mid-season, it would have to be an interim coach, one of the other defensive coaches. And, you know, I would counter that and say, well, which position group is playing well? Is there one? You know, like, who would you say, okay, well, at least, you know, that group is playing well. Let's see what this guy can do. No, none of these groups are playing consistently well. And maybe you can make a case the young linebackers looked good for one game when they had to play because Anthony Hitchens was out. Right. I thought that was a bright spot of this game that Nick Bolton and Willie Gay looked good. I don't think Matt House is ready to step in as the Kansas City Chiefs defensive coordinator. So that goes back to just the lack of salary cap money and the trade deadline coming up. I just don't see any reinforcements on the way. So it's got to be figured out in this room. And that extends to what is the defense. All right, John, anything else on your end?
Yeah, this is the one I wrote down after your remarks at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And this is another thing that I want to get out there that just frustrates me when I see people talking about it. And this is a pet peeve of mine, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
NFL teams don't tank. If you're thinking now that the right thing for the Chiefs to do is to trade away their star players and tank the season so they can get a high draft pick, forget it. It's not going to happen. Now, there may be NFL owners who think that that's the way to do things. There may be NFL owners who tell their head coaches, hey, you know, I don't really care if we win any games the rest of the season, we'll get a higher draft pick. There may be owners who do that. But I've been in NFL locker rooms, I've talked to head coaches, and I've done it for a long time. And I'm telling you right now that if a player is told that his job is to tank in this game so that another player can be drafted to take his job, he is not going to do it. So let's get this tanking talk off the let's just be done with that. It doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. The Chiefs are going to play as hard as they can, and they're going to use the draft picks they get. That's how this works.
Look no further than the New York Jets beating the Rams last year.
Yeah.
Costing themselves Trevor Lawrence over what is Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they both just should have been focused on Mac Jones. My goodness, in New England. He looks like the best quarterback in the class right now. But anyway, I digress. I would agree. I don't think, you know, say you want to say, okay, well, what about the Philadelphia Eagles in the last game last year? I don't know. But well, you know what? I don't think the Chiefs franchise is in a position to even consider something like that. This is
You're also talking about one game there.
Right.
You know, and there were other angles to it besides what the draft position was going to be.
Right,
There were other considerations there. I'm just saying that there's no team that at the midpoint of the season says, yeah, let's just lose the rest of the games.
No, that's true. That's true.
That doesn't happen.
I agree. Those are all good points. I think the Chiefs will be gunning to obviously make the postseason, and we'll see. You know, you forget this because we're just so used to the dominance of the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a wild card team. It isn't important as to how you play the full year. And look at last year with the Chiefs and how they got to the Super Bowl as that number one seed. It's really how you're playing the last month of the season. Right now we're in October. The season goes into middle of January, so that the last month of the season really doesn't even happen until December 10th. Now, you need to win along the way, but there's time to be playing your absolute best football, and you're actually better off. This is a point I just ran myself into. You're actually better off being something like 10-7 and playing really good ball in January at the end here, where there's two games in January, going into the postseason if you can make it, than say the Chiefs had gone undefeated, or say they had two losses and you're 15-2. And, you know, things have gotten a little bit boring. I don't think necessarily that's the best thing either. So as we're hunting down silver linings here on the Arrowhead Pride Editor Show, perhaps that can be one of them.
Well, they are kind of hard to find right now. I'll agree. I mean, yes. You know, there was nothing about Sunday's game that was fun to watch or fun to absorb. I wrote after the game on Sunday that I was embarrassed to watch it, which I almost never do.
Right.
My wife will tell you I was in here screaming during the game, which I don't normally do. But there were things in that game that were just hard to watch.
It's become embarrassing. Here's why it's become embarrassing, especially, I think, for Kansas City and the Chiefs fan base. This is a team for a couple years now that has really flashed, and it's been fun. And there's a lot of swagger and like a lot of arrogance and a lot of like Mahomes is the king. And it was well-deserved. Sure. But when you get to your point of struggles, the other 31 fan bases and other SB Nation sites and writers and readers and analysts are not going to forget you know? And so now you're having a lot of people who were like, oh, I thought the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl every year, that are enjoying it, for lack of better terms. And it is, to an extent, with the way they're showing up in some of these games, embarrassing. I know that Andy Reid said the effort thing. There are parts of that game where you're like, you know what? The way they look, this is a hopeless football game. And I think that's what's tough right now to watch this team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
All right. Some marinated takeaways. And the reason why I had John go first is I knew, you know, you would follow the what we usually do and go game specific. I have some bigger things about like the issues surrounding this team. And I'm just going to kind of go through them and establishing what's real. And
are any of these a rant? Do I need to make any notes?
No, we got rid of ranting a long time ago.
Okay.
So we have offensive issues with this team. And I want to credit Bill Barnwell of ESPN for some of these tidbits. The first two are from him. And I just thought they were interesting and worth thinking about. ESPN's automated coverage analysis reports that the Chiefs are facing too deep coverage about 36.5% of their dropbacks between 18 and 20. Now, in 2021, the league as a whole is upping its too deep coverage to a rate of 38%, meaning those two safety looks against Mahomes on 59% of the dropbacks. That is a wild number. And what it means is you're going to see the same thing every week until you don't. And until the Chiefs adjust, I think, why aren't teams just going to continue to copy game plans? Now, every team is going to put their own spin on it. I don't think you'll see, for example, like the Ravens come in and they are a blitz team and they're not going to blitz at all. Like, I think other defensive coordinators, but the basic thing is, okay, we're going to have two safeties back. We're going to be playing cover two, cover four. I heard that Dane and Hughes today on Fesco in the Morning talked about this catch cornerback that's kind of waiting in that area Mahomes likes to throw the football, where you're starting to see someone just kind of spy and wait there for Mahomes to make a mistake. It's amazing that we've gotten to a point here, but the end all be all, and this is why I think you worry about bad teams like the New York Giants coming in and winning, is because there's a plan that they can do. And if they can be effective offensively, and why wouldn't they with this defense and where it's at, playing, you know, they're one of the worst teams when it comes to defense in the league. That's where it becomes scary, because if you start losing to these bad teams, and I hate to say this, the year is going to be over. And I just worry, and I don't want to necessarily call it a blueprint, but there's an idea out there of how to make it a game. And when you're making it a game, any team in the NFL can win. I don't care if you're the Tennessee Titans right. or the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think that's where it's a little bit scary right now.
And we can go back to the point I made before, is why didn't the Chiefs, facing that kind of a look, go ahead and run the ball? That's right. what they're daring you to do, is to run the ball.
Right.
And the Chiefs have an offensive line that is better running the ball than it has been. You know,
the safeties aren't even just deep. They're like non-committal to any type of run look. Like if you even look at the film on the play actions, they're still kind of just like, we're not even going to come out. We're just going to continue to stay back. And why wouldn't they at a point?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing I thought that was interesting from Bill Barnwell. I'll read this one. The Chiefs yards after the catch is way down. The average Mahomes pass before 2021 expected to generate 5.4 yards after the catch. This season, that is down to 4.7 yards after the catch. Tyreek Hill has been far more inconsistent with the ball in his hands. He's exceeded his expected yards after the catch just 38.8% of the time. That is way, way low, down from nearly 53% over the prior three seasons. I also think, and I want to lump Travis Kelce into this, and you're seeing it on the film, folks are just beating him up in the first 5 yards, and he is banged up because of it. And I think Tyreek Hill is banged up with the quad injury. So your two best weapons and what they do best are being taken out of their hands, in a sense. And this was a Bill Belichick thing that started a long time ago, where folks would just start to beat up Kelce and try to equalize him, take him out of the game. And I think you're seeing that. And man, what makes it harder is, so you have Mahomes playing poorly, and when he is able to get the ball in the hands of Kelce, there's a guy around him. He's already beat up in the game. And then you're having Tyreek Hill. And Hill, for what it's worth, and as I've said before on this podcast, I don't necessarily blame for this, he makes quote-unquote business decisions, but he's going to do that especially when he's banged up. And so it's, God, it's the perfect storm of what you're seeing, where the defense is kind of have them figured out a little bit. Patrick Mahomes is not playing up to par. You have your best weapons that are, in a sense, the best things they do are being taken away from them. And I think that you get to Patrick Mahomes and the offensive line. He's not in sync with his offensive line. He seems to be drifting too much. And the things that he admitted himself is he's bailing too early from the pocket and missing receivers. Now let's keep in mind, at the end of the day, what up, Eric Bieniemy? At the end of the day, the Chiefs offense coming into this game was still one of the better offenses in the league, right? Mm-hmm. So you have one bad game in the offense where finally a lot of these things that you've seen giving them problems and not scoring maybe the typical 35 points and holding them at like 24, they were working all day, and you're also down 24-0 and you completely decommitted from the run in the first half, leading to the 3 points. Even with all of these problems offensively, everything we just mentioned, it's the defense that's the problem. You have miscommunications, you have poor tackling, you have questionable leadership right now with some of the things that you're hearing. The key to it all is that Steve Spagnuolo staple of mixing blitzes, but also still being able to maintain pressure with an elite defensive line with four, is non-existent. The Chiefs are 32nd in EPA per drive, 32nd in success rate, and 27th in the NFL. So
those are defensive numbers, right?
Correct.
You're quoting, right. Okay.
Correct. These are from Football Outsiders via The Athletic. 32nd in EPA per drive, 32nd in success rate, 27th in points allowed. So the offense, historically, in the recent years, has never struggled. It is going through some serious struggles right now, especially with turnovers. So you would like, okay, for once in this stretch of trying to build what is, for the Chiefs' terms, a dynasty, we'll see if that can continue now, there's got to be stretches where you can rely on your defense to like bail out the offense as it figures some things out. It's in a rut. The offense, in a sense, is in a rut, even with the points that they were putting up before this game. And the defense is historically bad. And it's just the perfect storm of all of this. And that's my marinated takeaway for this is, I often play the card of, look, long season, the Chiefs will get this figured out. But the problem, I think, this year is, There are tangible issues that you kind of need time to figure out. And because of the four losses, the buy is out of the window and you're in an uphill battle for a division with, and I hate to admit this because I wasn't a believer in the Raiders, but there's two good teams. I like the Chargers still more than the Raiders.
Yeah.
But the Raiders look different from previous years. They seem to actually have new life from this John Gruden situation. The organization just feels a little bit differently. I watched their game and some of the highlights this week against the Eagles, and I'm like, you know what? This Raiders team has a little bit more juice than they have had in previous years. And so with those teams having the five wins already, you have to keep winning. And the Chiefs need time and they have no time. And I think that is what's scary about this season is I don't doubt that they'll figure it out, but will it be too late when they do? You know, that's mm-hmm. where I'm kind of at right now. And that kind of makes me panic.
Well, and I think all of that is fair. You know, I think it's perfectly reasonable to say the Chiefs are a terrible team right now that has no shot of making the playoffs. But I also think it's reasonable to say that the Chiefs have shown that they can figure these things out in the past.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't put it past them that they can, considering the point where we are in the season. I think you're right. I think that they don't have much time to get this figured out, and it may not be enough time. And this may be a season where we miss the playoffs and we'll have to lick our wounds and come back next year. But, you know, you saw what happened when the Chiefs licked their wounds after 2018, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like they don't have the issue is not that they don't have some quality players. The issue is not that they don't have some quality coaches. Perhaps they've all played and coached badly in these last few weeks. I think it's, you know, I always say this, that we look at the players on the field and we say that's how the game is decided. But the chess match between coaches matters for a lot in a parity driven league where, you know, you've got a lot of talent on both sides of the field. And so what the coaches do in their game planning tends to matter a lot. And it's the part of the equation that we can't really see.
Right.
We can't really tell when one coach actually outcoaches another.
Right.
And at least not to the same way that we can say one player outplayed another one. And it may be that the Chiefs, you know, offense and defense has just been out schemed in too many games in a row, and maybe they'll figure it out. And all of a sudden we're looking at I don't know. I'm just saying that's a possibility. And
I said this a couple times on the post game show, things can change in the NFL quickly. I mean, this is a Titans team that looks like one of the better teams in the AFC who lost to the Jets, not last year, this year. Right.
Yeah.
So you got to keep that in mind. It can change quickly. If the Chiefs go on a little bit of a run here, then I think all of a sudden you're starting to feel better. Under 500 at the bye is an option, and we'll address that when we get to it.
Yeah.
Let's now go to what is, John, the worst Chiefs thing we heard all week from an old friend. How about Nick Wright of Fox Sports?
Uh-oh.
Don't know if this team practices. I can deal with the bad defense. I saw a team that should have won the Super Bowl 3 years ago have a historically bad defense. The bad defense all year long, I've said, we'll deal with it. What I can't deal with, Broussard, is 3 points. I can't deal with the offense, forget not looking unstoppable, the offense looking stuck in the mud from word go. They spend all their money on offensive linemen. The Titans don't blitz ever, and they just keep getting to Mahomes. Right. No one can get open. No one can block. No one can run, and the defense is terrible. So if I sound a little less confident than I have in the past, it's because I thought the Titans' secondary was missing everyone. Scored 3 points. So, yeah, I'm a little panicked. I'm a little upset. Your guys' all collective glee is a borderline HR violation. We do work together. No. I don't appreciate it. But,
not glee.
I'm a little panicked.
See, what's interesting there is nothing he said is untrue. And right. I think he really captured where we're at when it comes to this franchise and team is Nick Wright, and you got to love this about him, would go on to those shows and rightly so brag about his favorite team, his Kansas City Chiefs, because they were the best. I remember one point he said, who's going to beat the Chiefs this year? And he was right last year. And now it's all up in the air. And I just thought that's the worst Chiefs thing all week. But I think it truly captured where we're at right now. We need to see something. It's like let's get the defibrillator out and let's see some kind of tick on this thing, right?
Well, we need to get the defibrillator out because Nick Wright might need it. Clearly,
that's right.
From that clip, I mean, I might need it myself. You know, yes. I'm just saying. You know, right. I've got a few years on Nick there, so you know it might be needed for me as well. But I think you're right. This is, if you're not concerned about where the Chiefs are, there's something wrong with you. Well, you know, you and I are both concerned about where the Chiefs are right now. It's completely reasonable to be concerned. But I think it's wrong to say the season is lost at this point. There's always room for hope. As you just said, things can change very quickly in this league. And that's the way the league's been designed to operate. And that is the way it does operate. So I'm not panic-stricken at this point, but I sure understand why Nick Wright is. I get it.
One more note for Chiefs fans is this week is the Giants, of course. The folks are coming in. So my parents and sister will be in the building at Arrowhead Stadium. For those of you who have followed my career, I'm a native New Yorker, was fortunate enough to get an internship with Chiefs.com in 14. Kansas City has truly become my second home. With the Giants struggling as they have, the Kansas City Chiefs have become my dad, who is a football fanatics AFC team. So here's the message to you Chiefs fans that are at Arrowhead Stadium on Monday night. If you see a man in a blue Eli jersey and Chiefs hat, you'll know exactly who it is. Make sure that you give him some smack about his outfit and his entire being. And he has the same name as I do. So say hi to my dad. And of course, you know, talk a little smack because he deserves it. So that's it for our Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show. If you like the show, if you like our podcast network, please leave us a rating and a review. Coming up later this week, we have another Arrowhead Drive. We have the Great British Chiefs Show, a special edition, as you'll see, the Great British Chiefs Show. We will have an interview series, of course, a show in BK. We'll preview this Monday night game, and we'll also get a bonus preview because it's a Monday night game out of Structure on Monday with Ron Kopp and Steven Serta doing a special program there. So a jam-packed week. Just because it's Monday night, it doesn't mean we're not going to have coverage. So if you enjoy all of our programming, please leave us a rating and a review. For John Dixon, I'm Pete Sweeney. Thank you for joining us on another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Editor's Show.
Support for this show comes from Vanta. Dealing with loads of spreadsheets, juggling different tools, and having to do manual security checks, it can be a headache to keep up with today's compliance and security programs. Vanta is the trust management platform that wants to simplify things and bring all your trust-building efforts under one roof, making growth smoother for your whole organization. Vanta lets you automate up to 90% of compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, and more. Strengthen security posture and reduce third-party risk. Get $1,000 off Vanta when you go to vanta.com/vox. That's vanta.com/vox for $1,000 off Vanta.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero setup, developer first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.